What is going on, everyone? Week one has gone down in NFL. We'll be talking about that. And we have a new segment called What Would Jay Do? Very interesting segment. All here on Tuck and Run. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages? I am your host, Sam OG, as always. With me, my partner in crime, the tenacious D Tuck.
Hello.
And to the left, the artist formerly known as Jam Master J. What is up?
Hey, guys.
I like that. You've been workshopping that. I like it.
Gentlemen, we've done with week one.
Only 16 more weeks. Ugh.
Thank goodness.
Week one is done. We're going to be talking about that. First and foremost, shout out to Nas. It's his birthday today, September 14th.
Real hip hop.
Also, shout out to Craig, who is a huge Nas fan on the Flagrant Fans podcast. Be sure to listen to that
podcast. After you listen to our podcast.
But yes, we are excited to be talking about football. Week one of the NFL is officially over. We are on to week two. But here are some of the latest news and headlines that came from week one. We start with Dante Hightower, still questionable with his knee injury sustained in the opening game of the season. David Johnson, this is a huge one for fantasy football owners, dislocated his wrist. He's looking to be missing 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, I heard of play time back by Christmas. Oof. That's crazy. That seems like more than 3 months.
I'm
sick. That's a tough injury. I've dealt with a dislocated wrist. That's a tough one.
Jeez. I have too.
Well, all you second, third, and fourth round draft pick guys, you guys are good. San Francisco's rookie linebacker Reuben Foster expected to miss some time with a high ankle sprain. Cornerback, this is a very tragic one. Cornerback Ronald Darby out for the for at least 4 to 6 weeks with a dislocated ankle.
Gruesome.
Yeah,
that hurt. That sounds like
you seen that one? Oh, it was gruesome.
I heard it went in. It bent it in. It bent in. But I also heard if it bends in, it's better than if it bends out, because if it bends out, you tear ligaments.
Speedy recovery to you. Danny Woodhead is placed on the IR after a hamstring pull that he sustained during the game. That guy seems never to catch a break every year.
He's 32 years old. What'd you guys expect?
I'm going to tell you something. Being undersized and white, not a good combination with age in the NFL.
Kevin White fractured his shoulder blade, thus limiting the receiving corps in Chicago. J.J. Watt, this is kind of heartbreaking. After an emotional and uprising opening that he had for the city of Houston, he left the game with a broken finger. I guess it was a compound fracture too, huh?
Dude, J.J. Watt will bite his finger off. He's not missing
any time.
He
came back in the game.
Yeah, he did. I didn't know that.
Was it broken? I thought it was dislocated too.
Right. Either way, he made sure to humble brag about it. He's like, my finger was falling off, but it's whatever. I'm J.J. Watt. Ah.
Allen Robinson is out for the season, suffering a torn ACL.
Sorry, Phillip.
Lions punter Casey Redfern, he's out for the season as well with a torn ACL / MCL, which sucks because the only job is to do is kick.
He literally got hurt because he didn't know how to punt. Like, he was like, oh, instead of punting, let me try running, and then he got killed. Yeah. That'll teach him to ever do anything other than punt in the NFL.
He's a Lions fan, guys. And cornerback Jalen Ramsey is listed questionable with a high ankle injury. Orlando Scandrick broke his hand during the Sunday night football game against the Giants. I don't care. and Jonathan Cyprin is expected to miss several weeks due to a hamstring injury. And that is all. There's a lot of injuries in week one, guys. A lot of casualties.
Lack of practice time.
Hand down, man down.
I'll tell you who's not injured, though. It's the entire Tampa Bay Miami team who will be.
You can't get hurt if you're not playing.
That's right.
Who will be playing this week in their first game. But we'll get into that later. Let's talk about week one, starting with the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs in a very, some would say, big upset. I don't think it was an upset at all.
It wasn't upset.
Why not? Elaborate,
Kansas City defense is just, they're on it. I knew it from the preseason. I called it in the preseason when we covered the AFC West. The Kansas City defense was just, and they added more following up towards the week with the middle linebacker position. And, I will say that I wasn't expecting Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill to go out. But let's talk about that. Jay, actually, we're going to talk about, Jay's going to talk about that because I'm introducing to you a new segment called What Would Jay Do? Where Jay, our on-the-field football specialist, will explain to you guys what went wrong during that game.
So you're saying defense and Kansas City defense, nothing to take away from them. Maurice Jones-Drew famously said before the game that the coaching staff of Kansas City was better than the coaching staff of the Patriots. Guys, on Thursday night, that was true. And I'm going to paint a picture for you guys, all right? There was a key moment in this game. The Patriot had just taken the lead. It was 27-21. In the fourth quarter, the Chiefs have the ball, 14 minutes and 19 seconds to go, all right? So the fourth quarter just essentially started, okay? They have twins left. They got Chris Conley. They have Tariq Hill. And then Albert Wilson's flanked all the way to the right. That's 11 personnel, so they have Travis Kelce and then Kareem Hunt in the backfield. Now, at this point in the game, Dante Hightower, like you said, went down. Okay, replacing Dante Hightower was Cassius Marsh. Okay, so it was a man-to-man principles. Okay, they had a single high safety. They brought Tariq Hill in motion from left to right. When doing so, Eric Rowe, who was guarding Tariq Hill, went up to the single high safety. You see Daron Harmon run up, scream up to cover Tariq Hill.
Mismatch.
Mismatch there, right? Not only that, but covering Kareem Hunt was Cassius Marsh and Kyle Van Noy bracketing him. Now, he's supposed to have help over the top with Eric Rowe.
For the listeners who are unfamiliar with the term bracketing, what does that mean exactly?
Bracketing, you have one guy over the top, you have one guy underneath to be funneling him, okay?
Gotcha.
With that, snap of the ball. Travis Kelce does a square in, essentially, or a deep drag. Eric Rowe bites up on that. So there goes their safety help over the top, okay? Now you have Cassius Marsh, who just was signed by the traded for by the Patriots, and you have Kyle Van Noy. Kareem Hunt streams up the seam, wide open, 78 yards. First off, coaching mistake there. They had all speed on the field.
Right. Offensive.
We cannot match them for speed. What we should have been doing, especially with the motion, is playing zone. Because if people are coming across the zones, odds are they're going to reach another person in another zone.
Right.
The motion, that would have been negated, and you would have made Alex Smith be who Alex Smith was, which is not someone who's throwing for 300 yards and four freaking touchdowns. You're making him dunk and dive. That's it. It was awful, awful concept. Awful game plan by the Patriots.
I mean, the thing with that, though, is real quick. If Eric Rowe's got deep coverage, why is he biting? Why is he coming up?
Because he's put in a position where he's not comfortable.
Yeah.
You have him playing safety. He's a corner.
Yeah.
On top of that, you had three safeties in the personnel. You had Jordan Richards, Daron Harmon, and Devin McCourty. Devin McCourty was guarding Travis Kelce. He's more than capable than guarding Travis Kelce, so you don't need to help on that. Third, you have Jordan Richards blitzing, a delayed blitz, mind you, coming off the edge, he's doing a stunt actually towards the inside to get Alex Smith. Why not have Cassius Marsh doing that, more comfortable doing that, have Jordan Richards or Daron Harmon covering?
And so that's the downside of all these multiple defenses. It's option-based.
Now, Jay, on a defensive side, you stated what you would have done.
Correct.
Cover.
Mm-hmm. Zone coverage. It would have been zone coverage, especially when we lost out on Hightower.
In the fourth quarter, Tom Brady couldn't get it going at all. On the offensive side, what do you think the Patriots should have done? Is there anything they could have done?
Offensively, the timing was off, and Tom Brady threw his completions percentage was 44%. Okay? So what they should have been doing is using Brandon Cooks or some of their speedier guys as running off pick plays, running off short slants and running pick plays throughout. Brandon Cooks cannot get off a press. And for some reason, they were having him, Dwayne Allen, just running deep, clearing out everything else. Not only that, but you have Danny Amendola returning punts. Right. I mean, he's one of your only wide receivers. You had a lack of wide receivers on the field. You have him returning punts. Obviously, he's going to get hurt and come out of the game. You have Philip Dorsett coming in and having probably only knowing like, you know, a handful of plays. Why not throw him out there and return punts? Mm. It was bad game planning throughout. Special teams, defensively, offensively, it was awful game planning. And they said the same.
I think, too, that it was really, like you alluded to a lot, it's real bad timing. Like losing, they're not as deep as they have been in the past. That's what happens when you win a Super Bowl. You start losing your guys.
Key loss that wasn't talked about, Malcolm Mitchell.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Malcolm, because you have Brandon Cooks who just got there. I mean, I know he had the whole offseason, but he still just got there. So it takes, some guys never learn the Patriots playbook. You have, like you said, Philip Dorsett, who probably knew three plays in the entire playbook. You know, it's, I still think, I was just so surprised like the way it shifted, because who was the corner? Like, I think you mentioned him early in our group text. Was it Steven?
Terrence Mitchell played really well.
He played well eventually, but at first they were picking on him.
So, no, they were playing on the slot corner, actually.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering who, because there was a guy that they kept going at,
yeah,
and they were getting
and they
him.
Went and away from him.
They went away from him. I never understand why, I don't know if it's the defense adjusted, the Kansas City Chiefs defense adjusted, because they were beating him all day. And then all of a sudden, he starts, they just go away from that, and I don't know why the Patriots, they didn't, like, really, I would have just kept, because Rex Burkhead, I'm looking at him right now, he had a nice 14-yard run. Like, I just feel like they went away from what they were doing earlier in the game. And maybe credit Kansas City, that's their adjustments. But at some point in the third quarter into the fourth quarter, it just like flipped. Like they were at home celebrating the Super Bowl victory. They had all the momentum. They were up the entire game. And then all of a sudden, a couple big plays. The one when you broke down, the Kareem Hunt 75, 78-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. And it's just like that took the air out of the stadium.
Exactly. And it's one of those things like if you're still in this game, I mean, obviously it went away in the end of the fourth quarter. If you're still in this game as a Patriot fan, you got to have a little bit of optimism on it. They're not going to play that bad again. I feel bad for the Saints coming into, you know, going to the Saints, actually. I feel bad for them coming off a loss, but is something that you guys, as a coaching staff, that's on you guys. You got to prepare them better.
Well, what I think one last thing, and then after this we'll go on. But I just think it's great that everyone is like, oh, this is Andy Reid. Do you want to know why he was so good? It's because he had the whole offseason. Like, he's great coming out of a bye. He's great in week one. And I'm just thinking there, I'm like, I love Andy Reid. I think he's the second or third best coach in the NFL. But Bill Belichick had the same amount of time. He knew who the Chiefs were going to be playing. Like, so I love that we give all the, it's like, oh, Andy Reid gets all the credit. And I love Bill Belichick. I think he's the best. But let's blame him. Like you said, coaching. He's not getting any blame for this. Like, he had the whole offseason to prepare too.
Andy Reid did a great job. It was a lot more of like a college style
offense. The options
offense.
With Travis Kelce up the middle and stuff.
It was a lot of options. It was a lot of motion, a lot of movement. Get your guys into space, speed, use it in speed. So it was a great job by Andy Reid.
I mean, ultimately, I think what it comes down to is what we talked about on a previous episode. Drafting Patrick Mahomes lit a fire under Alex Smith. And I think, Sam, you were mentioned that the quote that Alex Smith had about this not being his last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Alex Smith knows that he's got to perform or else he's not even going to be playing. So I just think that, because that's not what we saw, that's not Alex Smith. Like you said, statistically, he had four touchdowns. That was his seventh career 300 or more yard passing. Correct. Seventh. And
seventh.
He's 32, 33 years old. He's been playing since he was 21. Mm-hmm. In 12 years, that's his third total regular season or postseason game with four or more touchdowns. He had five against the Raiders. He had four against the Colts in the playoffs, and then this is it. So I mean, that Alex Smith was playing like a man possessed because
got the best of him.
Yeah.
Well, that concludes. Well, I'm gonna ask you just to round off, just to make sure for the listeners at home, Jay, the things you would do was cover.
It would be zone coverage. Learn how to game plan around their speed. Yes.
And utilize your new players.
Utilize them with pick plays and short passings, correct?
And there you have it. That is this newest segment of What Would Jay Do? Jay, I'm gonna do my best to get you a song in the background as well.
You deserve that. Yeah, that would.
I skipped a segment myself, actually. I was talking about all the injuries that happened. And with that, you hear stuff, especially you fantasy football owners, you hear things like questionable or PUP or IR. If you're not familiar with these terms, you probably shouldn't be playing fantasy football. but if you're not playing fantasy football and you're still curious and you want to learn to, you know, talk near the water cooler, we have our own professor in-house to explain to you what is the IR, PUP, and questionable remarks here. Straight out of Ballstone Hardy University is the man himself. The Grand Maester, there we go. That's what we call you. The Grand Maester, Dale.
That's what we call it to your face.
Professor Detuck, yeah, to my face. All right, so the PUP stands for Physically Unable to Perform, which is something that they had to do after, right before the season begins, right after the preseason ends. And it basically, if you're placed on the PUP, you don't take up a roster spot, but you can't play football for 6 weeks. It's just like there's injured reserve, which is you're out for the whole year. And then there's a PUP, which if you're hurt in training camp or over the spring or something like that, they put you on that. If you only need, like, Andrew Luck should have been on PUP.
Correct.
Because he's probably not going to play till week six, but their pride or whatever, they didn't want to admit that, so they didn't put him on the PUP. Questionable is an injury tag that they have to, that all the teams by on Wednesday have to submit their injury report. Questionable just means they have a 50-50 chance of playing. I believe the NFL got rid of probable and doubtful. You're either playing or you're questionable.
Questionable, yeah.
So it just means you have a 50-50 chance, which is incredibly vague, but whatever. And what was the other thing you asked?
Questionable.
I PUP. Said questionable, PUP. IR. Injured reserve is where they place you if you can't play. If you're hurt for the year, that way you don't take up a roster spot. You're still getting whatever guaranteed salary you had, but you're not taking up a roster spot.
And injured reserve with the designation to return?
Yeah. So every year, each team can nominate one player to come off the IR, which means that if a guy's out for nine or like David Johnson, he's going to go on IR, so he doesn't take up a roster spot, but he'll come back in 3 months. And if they want to, they can activate him and he can play. It used to be injured reserve, you were gone for the year. But now each team gets one player they can bring back after 8 weeks.
The more you know.
And there you have it. Our very own Professor Dale Tucker with another edition of Dale's Dictionary. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, guys.
All right, moving on. We are talking about the teams, the games, and week one of the NFL. We start with, I mean, should we even start with the Buffalo Bills and Jets?
Let's start with them. Let's get them out the
so
way.
So the Bills won. What was the score?
Yeah, exactly.
What was the score, though?
It was 21-12.
I don't care. The Jets, to me, are like that ex-girlfriend. I don't want to hear anything about it.
All right, well, we do have to acknowledge their existence. So it was 21-12.
21-12.
I thought the Jets would win that game, to be honest with you. I was surprised.
Tyrod Taylor doing his thing.
Tyrod Taylor, yeah. They cannot get rid of him quick enough, but he's just winning the games for him.
All right, next.
Yeah, seriously.
Next, another divisional game. Another one of the hottest divisional games that happened is between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Redskins. The Eagles came on top 30-17. Carson Wentz looked pretty good, and Jay, you would agree with me on that one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I thought he was going to be good and got a lot of talent now on his roster. And listen, Kirk Cousins, this is, again, a contract year for you. You didn't play well, and he doesn't have the weapons. Like I said, Terrell Pryor,
if you go back and look at the film,
okay,
he had a drop. He had two drops. One was on a holding. All right. I will agree with you. I'm not a big Kirk Cousins guy, so whatever. That's not a submission or whatever. I'm not conceding that.
It is week one, too.
Terrell Pryor left a lot of yards. It's like when you go back and look at the film, there was quite a few times that he was running wide open and Kirk Cousins just like, oh, I'm Kirk Cousins. Oh, you like that? No, nobody liked that on Sunday.
Well, Terrell Pryor went for six receptions for 66 yards. Kirk Cousins went 23 for 40 and 240 yards with one touchdown.
He left quite a few yards on the field.
And Carson Wentz went for 307 yards and two touchdowns.
Going back to Carson Wentz, he's looking like what he was doing last season, starting off hot. Do you think he's going to continue staying hot?
I said yes. I said yes when we went over the division.
You did.
Yeah, you like the Eagles. We'll give you that. You like the Eagles.
I did.
They might go 8-8.
Any big surprise? Any big star plays that leaped out?
No, the defensive line is crazy for Philadelphia.
Yes,
I think we can agree on that. They're very deep.
Is it a good defensive line or just a bad offensive line?
No, it's a great defensive line. It might be the second or third best defensive line in the NFL.
It's tough, and they got
Fletcher Cox.
They got some budding stars at the linebacker position too. So
Chris Long is coming off the bench for them. Vinny Curry, Brandon Graham had a game. The thing that's going to hurt the Eagles going forward is what you said, the Ronald Darby injury.
Yeah,
that's because they had no corners. They traded for a corner, and then he got hurt. So that's we'll see if they can cover, because they can get pressure, but if they can't cover, it's not really going to matter.
All right, moving forward from there, we have another game between the my computer's. I'm sorry, guys.
Want to do the?
Want to do the?
The Raiders. I'm sorry.
Right, go ahead.
Raiders and Titans. The return
of Tony Romo.
Beast mode
through the broadcast booth.
Yeah, how do you do?
I you know what's funny? I wanted to listen to it. I heard he did really well. Side note, I should probably table this when we get there. Rex Ryan is the worst announcer. He's the worst. He's the worst. I like Rex Ryan. I'm a big, like, we should just have a conversation about this because I felt bad for the girl because Moby, or the woman, I'm sorry, the girl, the woman, she did a really good job.
Excellent. She was trying, man.
He was just like, and then, you know, the thing about this is the sky is blue and footballs are brown, and I really like him. Like,
he just went down his leg,
but
man.
To your earlier question, I heard Tony Romo was predicting the plays and stuff like that. Like, well, I heard he was actually really good. I'm not surprised. I think Tony Romo, I would have loved to hear Jay Cutler, to be honest with you, because I just think Jay Cutler would be like, well, I don't really know who this guy is, but that was a heck of a throw. Right?
But yes, that game, Oakland Raiders versus Titans, Oakland Raiders came on top as I thought they would. 26-16.
Yeah, both you guys are bullish.
And we were also both bullish on Marshawn Lynch. And
he only had 76 yards.
He didn't.
18
and he
carries 76.
He got a catch, too, for a touchdown. And he also ran over Jarrell Casey.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's a 300-plus D-tackle.
That's an all-pro D-tackle.
It doesn't look like Marshawn Lynch missed a year.
Well, I think that we can safely say after week one, Marshawn is greater than Adrian Peterson.
And and also, Derek Carr in his return. Both quarterbacks actually coming back.
They were hurt. They were hurt in the same week last year.
Yeah.
And they both came. This is their first game back.
Derek Carr went 22-32, which is not bad. 262 yards, 2 touchdowns. Marcus Mariota went 25 for 41 attempts, 256 yards, and 0 touchdowns.
I'm going to stake my claim on this. I'm not a Marcus Mariota fan. Like, everyone loves Marcus Mariota.
36 touchdowns in the red zone. No interceptions in three years.
No, I know, but I wonder how much of that has to do with the mobility. Is that guys are playing, like, when you go into the red zone against it, he might be the most athletic quarterback in the NFL. To me, the problem with him is he's like a better Alex Smith. I know I compare everyone to Alex Smith, but he's not that aggressive. Like, you have Eric Decker. You drafted Corey Davis in the first round. You have Delaney Walker.
Corey Davis
looks
good.
No, he did, but Marcus Mariota needs to be more aggressive. That's my
They weren't. They weren't expected to win this game, by the way. So.
They were at home. Everyone's talking about the Titans. They could have won the division this year.
They could, but this was the Raiders.
I'm not expecting the Raiders to go from Oakland to Tennessee and win. That's my thing, though. So I was expecting the Titans to win, and they didn't. So I'm done with you, Titans.
Amari Cooper, both receivers, Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper, went off. Michael Crabtree had 6 receptions for 83 yards, no touchdowns, however. Amari Cooper, though, a man amongst men, got 5 receptions, 62 yards, and
I think he dropped a touchdown, though, right? He could have had 2 touchdowns. I believe he dropped
it. It was defended, well defended, actually, by Adoree Jackson.
Who is going to be good. Adoree Jackson looks really good. Rookie out of USC.
My man, however, struggled running the ball. DeMarcus Murray went 12 carries for 44 yards, no touchdowns.
You know what? I will say this. I'm sorry, Sam. I didn't mean to cut you off. No, I'm sorry. But I will say this in defense to you guys, because you like the Raiders and I don't. Their offense could be legit. If everyone stays healthy, Marshawn Lynch, Jared Cook was playing very well with those two receivers, and Seth Roberts is not a bad third receiver.
Good running line.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Offensive and their offensive line. To me, the questions are always going to be their defense. But if they can get a lead, then it's not going to matter. Go ahead, Sam.
No, it's all right.
Wouldn't be a podcast without interrupting Sam, huh, Dale?
So what do you think Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans need to do to rebound from this loss?
I think he needs to be more aggressive. I think that he has these weapons now. We're not talking about last year or the year before that when he didn't have great receivers. He has weapons. They need to use them. Throw the ball downfield, be more aggressive. That's what I think Mario. And you know what? You know what? The biggest thing is he needs to use his legs. He might be the most athletic quarterback in the NFL. His rushing numbers are – he never runs the
his
ball.
His thing is always, though, that he wants to pass
and
first
and I appreciate
and then run.
That, but if you're not going to if you're not going to take shots, use what you have. Use your legs.
He's got a tough test coming up next week, by the way, so we'll get into that.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into
the
that.
The Jags.
All right, spoiler alert.
Speaking of the Jags.
Oh God! What are they drinking in Jacksonville, huh?
Dude, they came up with this is probably a huge, big upset than the Patriots. I'm gonna get into that. We'll get into that later. But Jacksonville comes on top in Houston, beating them 29-7, despite losing both Allen Robinson and Jalen Ramsey during the game. Blake Bortles went 11 for 21.
That's such a Blake Bortles game. Although I feel bad. We could get so into all these games because like everyone hates Blake Bortles. And I watched it last night. I was watching the condensed. I'm like, he may like people act like that guy could not hit, like goes like 0 for 30 every game. Like if you listen to the media, I don't like Blake Bortles. I'm not a huge fan, but they're convinced he's Jamarcus Russell 2.0, the worst quarterback ever. He makes some throws. The thing with him is he's not consistent at all. Like he'll miss the easiest throws. That's the problem with Blake Bortles.
125 yards he thrown for one touchdown. However, not only was the Jacksonville Jaguars defense the highlight of the game, the rookie running back Leonard Fournette went off. 26 carries, 100 yards, and one touchdown in his rookie debut. Guys, is he the – well, we'll get into that actually. But is this Jacksonville Jaguars team the real deal?
We said before, right, we were ranking defenses. I said they were going to be a dark horse to be in the top five.
Yeah.
They absolutely look like a top five defense. Calais Campbell.
Think of the talent they have. They have 2 years ago, they got Malik Jackson. This year, they got Calais Campbell. They drafted Dante Fowler, the third pick overall. They signed A.J. Boyer. They drafted Jalen Ramsey, Barry Church, Tayshaun Gibson. Miles Jack is a freak athlete. Paul Posluszki is a steady veteran.
It's all coming
Kelvin Smith is a freakish athlete. That defense should absolutely be a top five or top three defense in the NFL. And guess what? They're playing in the AFC South. Those teams aren't offensive juggernauts. Marcus Mariota doesn't want to throw more than 10 yards. Who knows who's playing quarterback for the Texans? And Andrew Luck is on a milk carton right now. So, like, they can have statistically a great defense.
What I would say about this game, though, is that they pulled Tom Savage within the first half to bring in a rookie quarterback. And we talked about this. The notion is that Deshaun Watson came in and was just stellar, way better than Tom Savage. And we both say that that's inaccurate.
No, I mean, you look at the stats. They both completed 50. All right, Deshaun Watson actually completed 52%. Tom Savage completed 54%. Like, yeah, Deshaun had a touchdown. He also had an interception, and he could have had another interception.
But the thing is, he scored.
He scored when it really didn't matter anymore. It was close.
It was a nice little dump play. Two DeAndre Hopkins, that poor guy.
Yeah, well, I liked Deshaun Watson, but the notion that he vastly outplayed Tom Savage when Tom Savage got, a quarter and a half? I get why they put him in because the Texans probably have the worst offensive line in the NFL and the Jags might have the best defensive line. So. But, I mean...
You might need somebody that can run for his life.
See, I like Bill O'Brien, but I wouldn't believe a thing that guy says if I was playing on his team. How many years in a row is this that he starts? He has a whole QB training camp battle. He has a short leash. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Savage goes in the second drive tonight if Deshaun Watson plays poorly to start the game.
Right, we'll talk about that one later on too. Yeah.
Actually, we'll talk about it now. Let's go halftime. I want to introduce you guys a new segment called Inside the Huddle, guys. 25 seconds on the clock. I'm going to fire you a succession of questions, and you have 25 seconds to base your opinion and convince me why you think the way you think. So I'll start with you, Jay. Let me get my time clock up here. My first question to you is this. I lost my questions.
All right, so I think you're going
to ask. Which rookie had the better debut, Kareem Hunt, Dalvin Cook, T.J. Watt, Leonard Fournette, or Tyreek Cohen? Go.
It's pretty easy. I kind of saw this real time. Kareem Hunt.
I think we all saw it real time.
246 all-purpose, scrimmage yards. The most by an NFL rookie in a debut. It's got to be him. He torched us. He's fast. He looks like the real deal. And credit to all the running backs and T.J. Watt because he also had two sacks and an interception, but... Kareem Hunt is definitely the way to go.
One excellent, awesome. Dale, my question to you is this. Which QB had the most impressive performance? Alex Smith, Sam Bradford, Matthew Stafford, or Trevor Siemian? Go.
I mean, that one I think is really easy, too. These are two nice softballs you're giving us. Alex Smith, we said earlier, seventh game in his career with 300 passing yards. Third game in his career with four or more touchdowns. And who did he do it against? The New England Patriots and the greatest coach of all time. In their building, celebrating the Super Bowl win. Mm. Like, that's a huge game. And he just embarrassed them, essentially.
say
that. Yeah, Alex Smith.
Alex Smith, wow, over his boy, Stafford. I'm surprised. Jay, most impressive defense, Steelers, Ravens, Jags, Rams, go.
It's got to be the Jags. Definitely the Jags. They did that against a playoff team last year. There was a possibility of them being a playoff team this year. The Jags are the real deal. They're going to be a top five defense, like we said. It's got to be the Jags. Oh, everybody else did that against crap teams, so it's the Jags by far.
Awesome. Tuck, question to you. Most disappointing start, is it the Patriots? Most notably allowing 21 points scored on them in the fourth quarter. Is it Adrian Peterson on his revenge game against the Vikings where he didn't do much at all? We'll get into that later. Is it Wesley Wilson's performance? The Texans' D? In a little bit of what just Jay said and of what happened in Hurricane Harvey or the Giants. Go.
I mean, I would say most disappointing. It's a toss-up for me between the Texans with everything going on and the Patriots with everything going on, the Super Bowl celebration. Houston, I think, could be forgiven based on everything going on off the field to lay an egg in their opener. The Patriots had the whole offseason, and we're talking about the Chiefs. And Bill Belichick, like I said earlier, had months to prepare for this game. And I don't want to pile on for Jay, but I would say it's absolutely the Patriots have the most disappointing performance.
You. All right. Jay, my question to you is the biggest injury loss for the team is Eric Berry in the Kansas City Chiefs, David Johnson, the running back out of Arizona, Kevin White, the only receiver that they had in Chicago, or Dante Hightower, your boy from New England. Go.
So Hightower is probably going to be back. He's going to be questionable. Mm. Eric Berry or David Johnson was really the only two options to go with here. Eric Berry has Daniel Sorensen, who's actually had three picks last year, so that's probably going to be pretty good. David Johnson, his replacement. David Johnson was at an entire offense for a while, so it's going to be David Johnson.
David Johnson, cool. And final question to you, Tuck, is this. Who will win their first game, Tampa Bay or Miami? You're on the clock.
I mean, this one is actually tougher for me just because the Dolphins are in L.A. playing the Chargers and the Bucks have the Bears at home. Which I like the Bears, and I guess it really shouldn't be that tough. The Bucks will win their first game before the Dolphins do.
There you go. There you have it. That is our inaugural Inside the Huddle 25-second question.
I like that. Question. That's quick. We should definitely do that every time. Like, you come up with a couple questions. That's good, Sam.
Good job, Sam.
Thank you very much. Now we're going back to the games here. The next game in line is the Cardinals versus the Lions. The Lions come
game of the week.
Lions come back from another fourth quarter win. Matthew Stafford was just shooting out the stadium out there.
Lasers.
That's an interesting expression. Just murdering innocents.
He went for 29 completions, 41 attempts, 292 yards, and 4 touchdowns, rallying back the Detroit Lions. 35-23. Dale, I know when we covered the NFC North, you said the most important game is the first game against the Cardinals because the Lions can never beat the Cardinals.
Never beat them.
How do you feel?
I was elated. I was ecstatic. Like, this was I was so happy. Like, I was so miserable when Stafford threw the pick six and they were down the entire first half, and I'm sitting there in Exeter, hours from my house, watching my waiting for my daughter to cheerlead, while I'm just listening to this game, being like, "What is going on? Like, this is crazy." Like, I know Arizona's a good team, but we weren't doing anything in the first half, and then for it to completely flip, similar to the Patriots, the Chiefs Patriots game, was a great, great feeling. I mean, Stafford, since 2011, we are 6-1 in home openers, and that's tied for the best record in the NFL.
Let's talk about your newest addition. That Gallo Day.
Yeah, he's a monster. I mean,
amazing catch.
Made us
touchdowns.
Forget about Calvin Johnson.
Is he looking promising?
Do you have faith in him? I've been on him for a long time, like since we drafted him, because he's a 6'4", ran a 4.5 flat at 220. Like, he's a big guy. He can catch. I mean, like that second touchdown catch, the diving one that put the game away, that was a thing of beauty. It was a great throw by Stafford, but it was a heck of a catch by Gallo Day.
Should be playing over T.J. Jones.
Well, yeah, he gets more. He does. He outsnaps him. T.J. had 18
snaps. Shouldn't have T.J. at all.
No, T.J. had some nice catches first in that game. Stop it. I like you, T.J. You're from Notre Dame. We got
next
a lot
game.
Of Notre Dame guys.
There, now, Jay. Game. Well, actually, I want to stay in this game. Jay, we mentioned earlier just now the loss of David Johnson. How impactful is that for this Cardinals team?
That's huge. They got Kerwin Williams, who's probably going to be the starter, de facto starter. Mm. They signed Chris Johnson again because Bruce Arians loves Chris Johnson.
Can't quit him.
And Andre Ellington, who they moved to the slot wide receiver, and then they moved him back to running back. He's going to be there for like third down back duties. Listen, this is going to make it so that the Cardinals, we talked about it, the Cardinals aren't going to be that good actually this year, so.
Gotcha. All right. Moving on. Let's go into another highlight of the game. Let's talk about my Giants and Cowboys. The Giants lose to the Cowboys in the first Sunday night game of the season, 19-3. We all know one of the major storylines coming out of there was Odell Beckham and his lack of presence on the field. However, Dak Prescott continues to shine. He went 24 for 39. 239 yards and one touchdown. No, 268 yards and with one touchdown. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Elliott, still being Ezekiel Elliott, went 24 carries.
104
yards. No touchdowns, however. And the O-line for the Giants is still missing from last year. Guys, what's our takeaway?
No, we need to ask you, Sam. What is your takeaway? You're a Giants fan. What did they do wrong?
Nothing. I mean, everything. You know what it is? You know, they asked Brandon Marshall if it's a chemistry thing. Brandon Marshall said, no, it isn't. I don't believe in chemistry. I mean, they had all off seasons to work together. However, I don't know why Eli was not looking his way in the entire game.
That's true.
He was one catch in garbage time.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Exactly. It's your best receiver after Odell.
I don't know if it's Eli getting in his own head, knowing that he doesn't have his go-to guy on the field, or it's because the O-line doesn't give him enough time to go through his checkdowns. But they need to get it together, and we have a huge game against the Lions Monday night.
0-2.
I feel like, you know, with Odell coming back, is going to hopefully raise the spirits of this team.
Yeah.
This team knows what's going on. They know that they need help in the O-line. And they need to just, you know, they have the speed. They have the talent. They just have to do what you said as far as, like, the Alex Smith method, where, you know, use your speed to the advantage and do those quick checkdowns, do those quick dumpers. That's how the Patriots play. And that's how they get, you know, they are the Patriots. However, that Dallas Cowboys, they're just, they got the defense. They have the offense.
That's the thing. I don't think they have the defense. They did have a good game. Your defense scares me more than the Arizona defense.
Right,
way more. Like, you have, the Giants have the defense. The thing that I think is the problem is, I'll tell you, like what you said, they missed Odell. They have a very poor, unoriginal, uncreative offensive system. Ooh. They can't block, so they're built on screens, slants, quick passes, and Brandon Marshall at this stage of his career is a possession intermediate receiver. Sterling Shepard should be that guy. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe the one corner in Dallas covered Sterling Shepard. But Eli Manning
had an okay game.
Yeah, he had a great, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, was it in Dallas or in New York?
Dallas.
Right?
Dallas.
The thing that kills me, though, is you guys beat them twice last year. And that's with Odell, obviously. I wrote about it today in the team,
Tux.
What did I call it, though? I had a clever name. Tux Team of the Week. There we go. You think I wouldn't remember the thing I write? So anyways, I've never seen a team so clearly based around a player that isn't a quarterback. Like everything falls apart. I mean, we've seen good running backs and stuff like that, but usually even a running team, a team that's built around Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch, there's other complimentary guys. If they were to go out, you have backup running backs and stuff like that. But the Giants are so clearly built around Odell. And now he's saying his injury is a 6 to 8 week injury.
No.
They hope he's coming back. But now the newest report is he's not playing. He's been out 24 days and it might be a 6 to 8 week injury.
Can I say just hats off to Jason Witten too.
Yeah.
Scored the only touchdown of the game. Now is the all-time receiving yard leader for the Cowboys.
And he's not even talking about retiring anytime soon.
No.
I mean, his game is not built around speed, so as long as he can block and catch, he'll be able to keep playing.
Another game I gloss over by accident is the Rams and Colts game, the Rams defense. Guys.
It's Wade Phillips, man.
Is it Wade Phillips?
And you want to know what the crazy thing is? Jay Gruden had the opportunity to hire Wade Phillips for the Redskins, and he basically told Wade Phillips like, hey, let me come coach for you. Like, I want to coach in Washington. I like the guys you have. Jay Gruden brought him in, made him watch a bunch of tape with him, like, big-timed him, and then didn't sign him. And the Redskins have had a bottom 10 defense in Jay Gruden's entire tenure. Meanwhile, Wade Phillips goes to L.A., which was terrible last year, and has a defensive performance of the century, you know? Like, I mean, they're not – Aaron Donald, their best player, didn't even play.
Right.
So I just think that Wade Phillips is one of the best defensive coordinators ever.
Coach McVay, the youngest coach to get an NFL win, also on the debut. And Jared Goff, career high, 306 yards.
I think that this is more like what Jared – I'm not done with Jared. I like Wentz more than him, and I'm still not that high on Wentz this year.
That's not what you said before.
No, I never said I liked Goff more than Wentz. I've always said I liked Wentz more.
You said he's going to have a better year.
I like Jared Goff, yeah, because I think he has a better offensive coordinator. I think McVay is a genius. The only thing is Rams only ran 1.9 yards per carry. Todd Gurley, I don't know where you've been, guy, but 1.9 yards per carry is not going to cut it.
He did well, though, catching the ball out of the
backfield. Yeah, he caught the ball, but, I mean, McVay's got to figure out how to run.
Saved you in your fantasy teams, by the way.
The Colts aren't some great defense. Like, you should be running for more than 1.9 yards. That's horrendous, 1.9 yards. Even the Bengals ran for more on the Ravens average.
All right, well, tonight is the start of week two between Texans and Bengals on this Thursday night game. It's both teams are looking for their first win. What's our prediction on that game, guys?
I got the Bengals.
I have the Bengals as well.
I also have the Bengals.
I think the Texans' offensive line is the worst offensive line in the NFL. Deshaun Watson's going in there in a short week. All three of their tight ends got concussed.
Carlos Dunlap's going to have a big game.
Geno Atkins is going to have a big game. Him too. Like, the Bengals are going to bounce back. We want to segue into that game, the Ravens-Bengals game. They got embarrassed last week at home. That's the crazy thing. Like, I'm looking at the score. I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, whatever. I think the Ravens are a better team. And then I saw that's the home opener for the Bengals. And tonight it's in Cincy, right?
Ravens got a great game. Yeah, it's in Cincy. Though. So
another game I want to highlight is the Patriots versus the Saints. More so because after AP's lack of participation in the game. Do you think, my question to you gentlemen is this, do you think if you're AP, are you looking for an exit strategy already?
He signed that contract. He went to a team that was supposed to be a pass first team.
With Mark Ingram.
The Saints don't have enough weapons offensively for pass catchers besides, you know, Willis needs out right now. But he's one of those guys that at his age, he needs the rock, you know, 20, 30 times a game, and he's not going to get it. So that was on him.
Yeah, I love Adrian Peterson. He might not be the smartest guy because they had Mark Ingram. It's a passing team. I said at the time, too, they run almost all their plays out of the shotgun. He is historically terrible out of the shotgun. He needs to be in the eye, behind the right up on the line, like behind the quarterback, behind the fullback or whatever. So I don't understand why Adrian Peterson signed there. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade Adrian Peterson.
Got out-snapped by Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
But I think Alvin Kamara fits them. Kamara fits them so much better. Adrian Peterson, he can't catch. He can't pass block. You know what they're doing. That's Sean Payton. I don't know. I didn't understand
the
fit then. I don't understand the fit now. Go to the Eagles even. Go anywhere the there. Go to the Ravens.
Another game I want to highlight is Sunday night's game. Packers-Falcons rematch of the NFC Championship game, which was probably one of the best games out of last year. What's our prediction on that one?
Green Bay's going to win.
Packers.
Atlanta barely beat Chicago.
But it's the grand opening of the new stadium in Atlanta. I mean, there's a lot of energy.
Chicago almost beat Atlanta.
Their rush defense is awful.
Four passes at the end of the game. Did you see what Green Bay did to Seattle?
Yeah, well, that's a different
Seattle. The rush defense was awful. Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen went all over them. Ty Montgomery's going to do the same thing.
Hey, let's talk about Tariq Cohen, because I imagine you really like Tariq Cohen.
5'6", 185 pounds.
He is freakishly fast.
He is.
I watched a lot of that Bears game.
He's strong.
The only thing, and I don't want to sound like a heightist or anything like that, he takes big hits.
He does.
He was getting hit every time he took the ball.
He's going to be a pitch count, though.
He's got to be a pitch count, and he's got to protect himself, because he's real fast, but he's very small.
On top of that, though, the Falcons, they haven't won in Soldier Field since 1983, so that was an accomplishment for them. But it was a nail biter.
I don't know. We're talking about that Atlanta Chicago game. I thought Chicago was going to win that game. To be honest with you,
predictions for this game though. Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Also Green Bay.
I'm going with Atlanta. I think they're just going to continue their hot streak. Well, the one win that they do have. And finally, the Monday Night Football game between my Giants and Tucker. Your Lions.
Lions.
Jay.
Yeah, the Lions.
I'm sticking to the Giants. I don't care what you guys say. now, I said this in one of the first in our first episode. I said after week one, we'll give our Super Bowl predictions based on what we've seen after week one. You had the Panthers and Jay. You had the Panthers and what was it?
Panthers and the Patriots. By the way, when we were doing our picks for the divisions, yeah, the Panthers didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, so you asked, yeah, and I didn't give. I had the Bengals and the Lions. I didn't put the Bengals in the playoffs either.
So. All right. So what's our prediction now? Super Bowl prediction now after week one, Jay.
I'm still gonna stick with the Patriots. Let's do the Patriots Packers. Let's just do it.
Patriots Packers.
Let's do it.
Dale?
I would say let's go Lions-Ravens.
Jesus Christ. My Super Bowl prediction after week one, I think Atlanta's going to go back to the Super Bowl. And I'm going to say, you know what? Green Bay, I'll stick with what I have. Green Bay and Steelers. I think it will be another rematch in the NFC Championship between Atlanta and Green Bay. Green Bay's going to come on top this time around.
I can't believe none of us said the Chiefs. I was thinking that. Like, well, yeah, I mean, maybe I'll take the Ravens on and put the Chiefs in.
That concludes this episode of Tuck and Run. We'll be here next Thursday to cover week two of the NFL. You can follow us on Twitter at
Tuck_and_run.
Also, go on to our website, TuckerPunchProduction.com. Click the Tuck and Run portion of it and read the new blog that is up, that's created by my man Dale.
The one I couldn't even remember the name. Tuck's inaugural team of the week.
Also, be sure to listen to the Flag of France because the NBA season's right around the corner as well.
And they'll record eventually.
And any lasting words, guys, gentlemen?
I just want to say Le'Veon Bell looked like crap. We didn't talk about that game, but he looked like crap.
He did, but you know what? I'm glad football's back.
I'm glad football back is back too as well.
There's a game on tonight. I can't wait.
We'll see you next week here on Tuck and Run.